Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise be to God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. Amen, because you have a choice. Things are getting ready to happen. I hope you got your popcorn ready. It's a Holy Ghost movie. It's a drama and a half. It's gonna be better than The Chosen. It will be live. Let me tell you. Glory to God. There are so many things that are, I could spend here all day long sharing about what's going on globally. But I can tell you that the floods are here. Amen. The Bible said it will be as the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Lot. So we are watching this happen. We're watching all the perversion be exposed, the transgender, all of the other stuff, because Satan's always been trying to create his own race. And everything that he does is always against the kingdom of God. You know, he's coming against everything God created, no matter what. So we are in a time right now which is very important to understand the divine law. Everyone say divine law. Divine law is, of course, we know it's from the divine, the creator. There is a law, and there are laws that he has released and created. Everything he speaks is law. And so many times people don't get that. They just think, well, he spoke. No, what he speaks is law. That means it's been planted, burned, and will never be removed. Does everybody get it? And what he sends will not return void. Never. But if you're not living according to divine law, then you're out of position. What happens when you live according to the divine laws of God? The divine nature is established. You have favor. Understanding the divine law, it's about rules, but it's about his word. Everything he speaks is law. And we can't discount that. We can't compromise that. Especially now. His walking and living in his divine law is also living in the spirit. That's what separates you from the world. We're not of the world anymore. Why? Because we don't walk in according to the rules and regulations of the world. We walk according to divine law of God. That's what separates us. And if you aren't, then you won't have divine, you won't be backed by heaven. Amen. Psalm 78 and verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my what? To my what? In other words, my words. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. See, he always confirms precept upon precept. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Again, every word from God is law. It's law and it's order. When it's law and order, it means divine law. Does everybody get it? It's so important that we begin to separate this, because so many times we're not acknowledging God's word as divine, just only of something he said. Remember, every word from God is law and order, which is divine law. Where there's divine law, there's divine order. Amen? Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but they what? Water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Oh, hallelujah. His word has been sent to accomplish his purpose, and it will not return empty. It won't return empty. Amen? So if you're in divine order yourself, amen, you're filled with the Spirit of God. When you speak the divine word, you must understand and see. So many times, we're not seeing that it is a divine word, not our words. We are not speaking our words anymore. We're speaking his words. If it's backed by the Spirit of God, it will not return void. It won't come back empty. It will go and accomplish what it has been sent to accomplish. So many times people give up because it didn't happen according to the way they want it or what they think. But the Bible says we don't what? Rely on what we see. Rely on what? Faith. Faith. Now, in his law, there are requirements. Amen? There's a divine requirement of everything you and I do. It is to maintain the divine law. That is the divine, that's the requirement. Maintaining the divine law. There are things that he gives us in his law that we must maintain and keep active. In Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, in the word of the Lord, in his voice, what comes out. And he will, and in his law he meditates day and night. In other words, the word meditate means focus. So you're focusing on what he's saying, not what anybody else is saying. You're focusing on what his words are saying. Everything in you and I do should always be, is this what God would say? Is this what God would do? This is what separates us from the world. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. It says here, but his, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Why? Because he's walking in divine law, divine order, and make it doing the requirements. His words are divine law. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. It's what? It's perfect. There's not too many things perfect, is there? But he is. And so are his words. And so are his laws. And so are his requirements. But the law of the Lord is perfect. What's it do? It converts the soul. Isn't it the process of conversion? So when we're decreeing the word of God in us, because what we speak is what we eat, what we eat is what we become, it's beginning to change all of your members inside. Your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, imagination, conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires. All of those things are changing. What are they changing to? His character. That's where the conversion is going. So you always have that to compare with. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment, all this is associated with his words. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, which are requirements. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. We are warned. And in keeping them, there is what? There's great reward. The divine law is perfect in converting the soul into his character. And we're warned. What's the warning of? By not keeping divine law. There's a warning. Amen? But there's also an encouragement in keeping divine law. That means you will be rewarded by keeping the divine law active in your life. Keeping it what? Active. Active. So that means everything that you're doing, you're always comparing what God said. I always share this before. There used to be those bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? It should have been, what would Jesus say? Amen? Problem is you don't see those anymore because not too many people were following it anyways. They probably got convicted and threw them away because they couldn't keep up with it. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? This is what you got to ask yourself in everything you do. Is this what Jesus would say? Amen? Why? Because out of the mouth will expose a fruit, won't it? Hallelujah. Is this what Jesus would do? Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of the Lord, of his Lord, is in where? His heart. It's no longer in the mind and memory. It's in the heart. It's now a part of the life. See, when it's in the heart, it's a part of the life now. None of his steps shall what? Slide. In other words, you won't backslide either. You won't forward slide, backslide, or side slide. It says, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he is judged. Hallelujah. What does he say? Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Keeping his ways, keeping his divine law. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you know what? You're going to see it. And we're going to see it. We're going to see it. You're going to see things start at the end of this month. Hallelujah. Two feasts are getting ready to manifest. The Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Atonement. And I'm going to talk about them more later. We're not close enough to talk about them. But we will. Amen. The divine law in the heart keeps us from backsliding. Amen. Why? Because it's now a part of your life. It's not something you have to remember. It's a part of you now. It is you. And the Bible says the Word became flesh. Now the Word, now the flesh, you, the carnal, has become the Word, divine. You are divine. You are carrying the divine law. Amen. Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is debted or sinned against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I want you to understand something very important. If you look this over, I share with you that there are divine laws and there are divine requirements. This prayer is a divine requirement. Because without prayer, you can't maintain a divine law. The other part of this is forgiveness is a divine requirement. Because if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Amen? So he's saying here, he's acknowledging the Father. He's asking for his kingdom to come. He's asking to be taken care of daily and for forgiveness. And then he's forgiven others. Amen? And he's asking, don't lead us into temptation. Again, it's a requirement to pray and to forgive. Those are divine requirements. Amen? Those are the basic foundational divine requirements. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be what? Deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His power is fear, right? God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, he will also what? Nobody gets away with it. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. For he who sows to his flesh, will the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't what? Lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are our household of faith. Again, what you sow, it's a requirement. To what? Sow in the Spirit. All right, when you speak the divine law, are you sowing in the Spirit? Yes. When you sing in the words that are on the wall, are you sowing in the Spirit? When you're singing songs to God Almighty, are you sowing in the Spirit? Yes. This is a divine requirement, to sow in the Spirit. How about be filled with the Spirit? It's a divine requirement. Amen? Because you can't, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you ain't going to have power to do nothing. You can have all the letter you want. And the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Amen? Now, if I was to go over all the divine requirements, we'd be here for 2 days. So I'm just using these are basic foundational ones. Psalm 119, verse 1, please. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That means divine law, right? His word. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judges, I will keep your statutes and do not forsake me utterly. Oh, hallelujah. What does he say? Blessed is the undefiled. Those who obey his divine laws or his words, you will be blessed. And those who won't will be what? Cursed. Go to verse 69. Proud have what? Forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. In other words, God chastened him. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Whoa. The law of your mouth is better than riches. Amen. Go to verse 125. I am your servant. Give me what? Understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Wow. In other words, we're asking God to, it's time for him to move. This is what's happening right now. Why? Because the world has considered God's divine law as void. They don't acknowledge him anymore. That's why you're seeing all of this stuff arising. And he's going to, it's time for him to act. It's time for him to move. It's time for judgment. Amen. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Wow. Yes, we're in the time of God's action. We're in a time right now where you're going to see a lot of things begin to be exposed. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be what? Diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is what? Living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account of everything that we have done. Again, the word of God is divine law. There's nothing that can hold it back. Nothing. Divine law has divine requirements. It separates us from the world. Amen? That's when people get goofy or whatever and other people want to curse them and judge them and do all kinds of stuff. We forgive them and bless them and walk away. Why? Because we know the word says coals of fire is going to go on them. God's going to deal with them. We don't have to. We're dealing with demons, not people. Amen? We're dealing with spiritual hosts and heavenly places and wickedness. We're not dealing with people. We want to remove the spirits from individuals. Then we can disciple the people. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. See, people are still dealing with people, and it ain't doing any good. Not until the influence of the presence of evil is gone. You know, when you really go, if you go back in history and everything that's happening, everything that's harmful to humanity is caused by the presence of evil. Sicknesses, diseases. They've caused mankind to become corrupted and to destroy one another. You got goofy religions. You got all kinds of stuff. You got war in places. That's all they do is they focus on destruction of humanity. Anything that God created, they want to destroy. They want to destroy the earth. People think, well, they want to possess the earth. No, they'd like to just destroy it because God created it. I don't know where they think they're going to go if they destroy the earth, but they're, you know. Everything, if you go back, realize that evil has influenced humanity, and humanity is allowing evil to influence one another. And it's causing war, hatred, murder, racism, jealousy, rage. All of these things are associated with what we call the flesh, because it's evil presence influencing, interbreeding. Again, I've shared already that they're cloning bodies to put demons in now. So you don't even know who you're talking to sometime, but you'll know them. They can only last so long. Something will happen if they're in the presence of God, because they can't handle it. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now he's separating two types of Christians. Ones that are in the flesh, and one that's in the Spirit. One that's walking according to divine law, and one that isn't. One that's still living by how they feel and making choices by every emotion. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life. So if there's a law of the Spirit of life, it has to be in the divine law. In Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. See, they couldn't keep the law. The Ten Commandments they couldn't even keep. That the righteous requirement, remember, these are requirements of the divine law now, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're walking according to the Spirit of God and you're in fellowship with the Spirit of God, the divine law will be manifested in you and the requirement will be met to overcome. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or thoughtful, thinking, is death, but to be spiritually minded thinking is life and peace. Because the physical carnal mind of the fallen nature is hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So your carnal mind can never be converted. It must be controlled. Does everybody get it? Your carnal mind can't be converted. It must be controlled. Why? Because you now have the mind of Christ that says no to the carnal thinking. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean thought won't come. It depends what you do with it. It doesn't mean you won't think stupid stuff sometimes, but it's what you do with it. Why? Because you have something to compare it now. You have something to discern with it now. Is that how God would say something? Is that how God would have me think? No, then it's not God. Is fear of God? No, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Sound mind. That means we carry the mind of Christ because we're walking in divine law, His word. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Words of the Spirit of life of divine law. You're either in the flesh or you're in the Spirit, one or the other. You're either condemned or not condemned. You're either pleasing God or you're not pleasing God. You're either in the divine law, amen, which allows you the divine nature. Only keeping the divine law will keep you in the divine nature. Why? Is staying filled with the Spirit of God a requirement? Yes. Is being baptized in the Holy Spirit a requirement? Yes. Look at Acts chapter 1. He commanded them, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Don't leave this place. Don't even go out and talk about me until you have my Spirit in you. Amen? And so many times people have gone out and did all kinds of stuff when they're not in divine order. Why? Because the divine order requirement was to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And evidence of tongues is of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can speak directly to God. Because many people don't know what to pray. Isn't it a divine requirement to pray? Well, then praying in tongues is a divine requirement. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So if we know that God has got all things for us available, why do people freak out? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. He always comes. He always makes a way. Somehow, some way. And if there's a delay, there's a reason. Amen? There's a reason for it. Trust. Rest. Wait. He's got it. God's got it. If you let Him, that's why you surrender your will. But if you take it back, then He takes His hand off. Well, I'm going to do this, Lord. Never go to God and tell Him what you're going to do. You may have to go to Him and tell Him what you repented on what you did. Amen? It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what's happening is you are comparing everything that's going on in your life with the divine law. Why? So you can walk in divine order and maintain a divine nature. Woohoo! But he who is spiritual judges all things. Does everybody hear that? If you're walking with God, you are a judge. That doesn't mean you're critical of anything. You're judge. You're a fruit inspector. Amen? You're judging God's time. You're judging. You're discerning. You're judging things. You don't have to judge people. You'll tell them by their fruits. Amen? But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Why? Because he's in relationship and close to God. For who has known the mind and the thoughts of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind, the thoughts of Christ in me and you. The divine law of God's words. You know, after my visitation from the Lord, and I didn't know the Word of God because I didn't read it at first. And I said, he wanted me to read the Bible. I want you to read this. Even though he said to me in the visitation, Guy, my word is truth. The Bible's true. But I saw so many hypocrites, I didn't want to be like them. And I was afraid that the Word of God would take me away from him. Because I didn't want to rely on what was written. I want to rely on the one who wrote it. Amen? But before I even began to read the Word, because the Spirit of God who wrote the Word was in me, I was walking in divine law. Filled with the Spirit of God, not even reading the Word of God. Why? Because that's all he used to do is compare. Is this of you, Lord? No. That doesn't sound like you, Lord. No, it's not. That sounds like you. It is. Does everybody understand that? I was no longer living out of here. I was living out of here. It was a total different thing. Until I finally submitted. And when he shared with me, I want you to teach my word, to teach others. Because not everyone will be where you're at. And I want people to be discipled by my words. By my words. And I used to just sit with him for hours and write down things that he was saying. I could have wrote a whole other Bible. But I wanted to know him more and more and more. The more you know him, the more you want to know him. And the more you know him, the more you realize how puny you are. Hallelujah. But that's where you've got to, for me and you, we've got to maintain that activity of the divine law. We've got to maintain the activity of faith. We've got to maintain, and how do we maintain it? We read the word, speak the word, decree the word, stay filled with the Spirit of God, sing. Everything that you and I are doing is beyond this natural realm. We're always reconnecting to the other side. Everything we do. Everything. Even in our jobs, our work, our labor, we labor unto the Lord. You know why people complain about money? Because they're not laboring unto the Lord. For the job. Man, I need more money to work here. How do you know God hasn't put you there? And within a short period of time, you're going to be running the place. But now the devil's telling you that you need to have money for this, 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 and this, and this. How many times people have quit their jobs and gone to somewhere else or didn't wait on the Lord for the right job? Because they wanted to work right away. Amen? Then they begin looking for jobs because the first one really wasn't God. It was a temper. It was out of the own heart. It wasn't according to divine law. 2 Pete chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Would that be his words? His law? Yeah. And of Jesus our Lord, and his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. I'm going to say it again. And his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Well, how is their knowledge? His words. The divine law of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through its lust. Wow. Divine nature established by divine law. Why? Because the law is the words and knowledge of Him. Amen. I'm going to close it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. We have divine power with a divine law, a divine nature. How many of y'all want divine favor? Well, hallelujah. And how would you like to keep that divine nature, divine power, and divine favor? Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Oh, that's maintaining identity, isn't it? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Perfect love maintains divine favor. Perfect love maintains divine favor and its divine law. Perfect love. Maintaining a perfect love. And you can only get that from God's presence. Amen. You can't buy it. You can't Google it. You can't ingest it. You spiritually drink it. It's called His presence. In His presence, there's an exchange made. Amen. It's not lust. It's love. Hallelujah. The divine law, it's what's separating us from the world. And it's what's exposing everything in the world right now. You'll be able to say, man, that person ain't walking the divine law. Or that person is. It's time, and God is activating everything right now to expose and remove. We are entering a time of judgment, which we call atonement. There'll be 10 days of awe. All kinds of things are about to happen. Woohoo! And it's God's time, because He's divine and He's the only one. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal your word today, your divine law within us, because you said you would put it in us so that it may come forth up, and that we may see, that we may hear, and that we may do according to your will, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.